The Universal Memorial, January 3, 2016, by Ernie Noll. In my dream, I am walking with the guide angel through the Appalachian Mountains in the fall of the year. Calling me by my heavenly name, he tells me that a great, many-faceted battle will soon be upon the world. For some it will be a mental battle, for others it will be a physical battle. For some it will be both a mental and a physical battle. He explains that many are controlled by demonic powers, and they are not even aware of it. Many think they can simply ask for an umbrella of protection, and God will cover them. However, he requires that everyone do their part. It is up to each individual to choose not to allow Satan and his demons to occupy their minds. Then, when they ask for protection, God will protect them. We stop walking, and as the guide extends his hand, I see an individual who believes they walk with God. They pray, claim the blood of Jesus, and follow a healthful diet. However, this person allows Satan access to their mind. Therefore, they have not fully surrendered their will to God. The guide stresses that even though Satan may not be permitted to harm someone physically, he can still hold that person tightly in his grasp. I am shown that this particular individual is one whom God called to do an important work for him. He gave this person simple tests to prove their commitment, but they continued to fail. Each time the Heavenly Father gave this person an easier test. However, by allowing Satan to very skillfully enter their mind, the person failed to realize that demons controlled them. I am made to understand that Jesus, the love of the love of the love, who gave up his throne in heaven for this individual, loves this person in a way that no one can comprehend. Yet, unless this person learns to love Jesus in return, he will be heartbroken. Can we comprehend that? He loves each one of us, and all he asks is that we simply love him in return. This particular individual was given task after task, but each time came greatly short of the finish line. In order to help, the mark was made shorter each time, so short that the individual would hardly have to move their foot to take a step. They simply needed to lean forward. However, the individual failed again and again. I think of how Jesus asks us to just love him. How much easier can it be? I think about what the Father said. When I see my Son, I see you. When I see you, I see my Son. To be given the perfect, complete gift and not appreciate it is inconceivable. The guide breaks the silence and says, Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is never jealous. Love is never proud. Love is never selfish. Love never leads to anger. Love is gracious. Love is forgiving. Love never takes happiness in doing wrong. Love always finds happiness in truth. Love always endures forever. Things may come to an end, but of the three things that will always last, faith, hope, and love, the greatest of these is love. Jesus is the faith. The Holy Spirit is the hope. God the Father is the love, the source of all love. Of faith, hope, and love, the Father is the greatest, and Jesus Christ is the love of the love of the love. I turn and ask the guide how a person like this is supposed to ask for help if they do not even know they are controlled by demons. Even those who know this individual did not realize the person was controlled by demons. The guide continues by explaining that instruction has already been given. So many read messages in my dreams and believe they just read a heartwarming story. However, these are not good-feeling stories, but rather messages of instruction. These are instructions to help each of us prepare for our own personal battle. All should read and study the messages and apply them personally. It is only by much study that we can be prepared. For example, a deep, thorough study of the dream regarding angels can answer questions for today. Through study, we can know and understand the many layers in the dream, a song and a prayer. We should compare the messages with the Bible as well as the spirit of prophecy, as shown to Ellen White. We are not to just receive a good feeling. We are to study and study, and when we are finished, we are to study more. Our life depends upon it. The guide and I begin walking again. In the distance, I notice an old Appalachian-style house with tar-paper-covered sides. It was built by very poor individuals. As I approach, I notice many individuals dressed in camouflage clothing. Some are hidden so well that they are difficult to see. Yet the guide clearly points out each one. He reveals that the men are controlled by demons. They do not serve God, but rather the demons who control them. The guide quickly takes me to where I see a small group quietly kneeling in prayer. There is not one individual praying for the group, but rather each prays unitedly for all in the group. I watch one of the women stand up, walk out of the room and down a hall. She approaches the front door, opens it, and walks out to the porch. Immediately I see and hear instructions sent to the militant people in hiding that they are to destroy the woman. The guide points out an individual lying down with a rifle and taking aim at the woman. The woman raises her arm, and all the hidden militants stand, drop their weapons, and flee in great fear. Because the woman did not say anything but simply raised her hand, I ask the guide what frightened the soldiers. The guide replies that I simply saw a woman. Yet when God saw this woman, he saw his son. The guide says, "It has been said many times that all are to be like Jesus. For all who do this, the Heavenly Father will not see a man or a woman, but rather Jesus. Look at the woman again." When I look back at the woman on the porch, I do not see a woman. Instead, I see Jesus. The guide further reveals that demons flee from the presence of Jesus. An individual who confronts demons in a hasty manner will lose the battle. Near the time of Christ's return, only those whom the Father sees as Jesus can confront them, and by simply raising a hand will make the demons flee. This is instruction that has already been given. Each person should ask himself, "Who does the Father see in me?" If he sees his son, great things can be done. I tell the guide, "I can imagine situations where people think they have power and that they are doing God's will. However, I understand there is a line between faith and presumption. God would not ask someone to jump off a cliff to prove they can fly. He would simply ask the person to leap off the ground in faith. That woman would not have walked out to the porch unless she had heard the voice of God, a voice she knew. It is sad that many think they know the Master's voice when the voice they hear is self-serving. I hear a familiar voice speak my heavenly name. Looking up and to the right, I see the herald descending. He states that the guide was sent with a message of instruction. Now the herald is to give another message. He tells me that I am to be shown another example of a message that requires study and should not be considered simply a story. He says that Jesus told stories, but that each one had an application and lessons of instruction. I hold out my right hand, and we leave the Appalachian Mountains. Now I am standing on the left side yard of a single level house. There is a small flower garden. I know it was planted to grow a variety of flowers to enjoy. A little farther away is another garden of assorted vegetables. On the other side of the house is a small orchard. Beyond the back of the house is a large field of tall, very green grass. From the back of the house, I watch an older woman walk outside. She is wearing a large sun hat, garden gloves, and a long-sleeved work shirt with the sleeves rolled up. She also wears a thick pair of work pants and protective knee pads. I watch as she walks to the flower garden. She gets on her knees and begins to pull weeds. With a tool, she loosens the soil around many blooming flowers. She then pulls out a magnifying glass from her pocket and uses it to more closely admire the beautiful flowers. She smiles as she enjoys the great designer's handiwork. As she spends time with each flower, she looks at it as if seeing it for the first time. Next, I see her admiring a small woolly worm crawling across a plant. She carefully places it in the palm of her glove and observes it as if it was the first time she had ever seen such a creature. As she stands up, I notice that she struggles with arthritis. She carefully carries the worm to the tall grass behind her house. Kneeling once again, she places the woolly worm on a long spire of grass. Then she crosses her legs and sits on the grass, which comes up a little past her waist. She is admiring the little creatures that live there. I realize that most people would not care to notice such things. Now I see the woman lean back, extend her legs, and look out in enjoyment, as if the field had been made just for her. Looking up at the sky, she gazes at the many big, white clouds floating slowly by, and the birds flying to their destination. After a while, she struggles to stand and walks to her orchard, where she picks different fruits. She plucks a leaf from a tree, smells it, bends it in half, looks at it closely, and smells it again. As if seeing one for the first time, she examines another leaf and contemplates the intricate pattern made by the great creator who placed his design on it. Now she smells one of the fruits she picked. I know she will not bite into it because it must be washed before eating. She holds it in her hand and turns it slowly to admire it. Then she takes the different fruits, walks to her back porch, and places them in a basket. I understand that, as a young girl, the woman squandered away her youth by smoking, drinking, and being promiscuous. She walked a lonely life, wasted in frivolous affairs, yet she did not know there was one who walked with her constantly. However, one thing she had was a love for nature. When she grew older, she realized that her lifestyle caused her health to suffer. Her hands, elbows, and knees were swollen with arthritis. She walked bow-legged because of arthritis in her hips. Her feet ached, her spine hurt, and every joint in her body was painful. She longed to have her youth back, to be able to walk, run, jump, or swim without pain. The herald informs me that he calls this woman Penny. When I ask whether her name is Penny, he replies, "That is what we call her. In time, you will learn why. But now it is time to show you more." The scene changes, and now I am at a church funeral. I see an older-looking Penny in a casket. I know that she had died. However, I notice that her appearance had changed. Her skin looks much healthier than before, and the signs of arthritis in her arms and hands are no longer visible. I wonder about the fact that she is much older, then realize that in her final days she was in better health than during the time I first saw her. The herald explains that Penny will simply remain in her grave until Jesus calls her and all the righteous dead to come out of their graves. Those who are found worthy will go to heaven with Jesus for 1,000 years. Then he will return to the earth again, and all the wicked will be called from their graves for their final judgment. At that time, each one of them will hear Jesus say that he does not know them, just as Matthew 7:23 states. The herald says, "Let me show you something so that all may understand better." In this part of my dream, I am standing as an observer in a courtroom. The Heavenly Father sits high on a throne as the judge. What I see of him is only what I am allowed to see. To my left are several angels escorting in many men. Some of them look up to the judge and say, "Look at all the evangelistic series I held. Notice how many I baptized. I healed in your name. What about all the demons I cast out?" One man, who used a fake smile and a hypnotic type of teaching, says, "Look at all the great things I did. I wrote books and did wonderful works in your name. I deserve a great place in your kingdom." I notice that the men wear different types of clothing. Some are in suits or robes, but all brag about what they did for God and often repeat the word "I." God would look at them and motion for the angels to escort them out to his left. After several men came through like that, I felt disgusted. Angels also brought in other people. Some would drop to their knees or squat down with their heads between their knees. Some would cover their heads with their hands or humbly fold their hands and bow their heads. They felt unworthy to look at the judge. Some of them said, "I never knew who you were. I never had the opportunity to know who Jesus was. I should have taken his hand, but I did not know him. I never knew you, God. I only knew the spirit that walked through the trees, that quiet voice that told us not to do bad things. I saw the Father walk down the steps from his throne and pick up a man lying on the floor with his head bowed. The Father wrapped his arms around him, hugged him, and said, 'I was with you every step of the way.'" The herald says, "Compare the people who thought they were great with the humble ones who did not even dare to look at the Father. Some will be in heaven who never had the chance to hear the story of Jesus, yet they walked daily with the Holy Spirit. God is looking for people like that." Now my dream returns to Penny's funeral. The herald says, "Penny will be called up from her grave. Jesus himself will cover her with a robe and place a crown on her head. Let me show you." My dream changes, and I am shown again the scene of the second coming of Jesus when he calls those who have received the seal of eternal life. Those who are not called remain in the ground until they are raised for their final judgment. I am taken to where I see Penny given a new body that reflects eternal life. With her eyes fixed upon Jesus, she ascends and is joined with many others on the large cloud headed to heaven. Although she continues to look at Jesus, she meets many old friends and makes new ones. There is such joy. I know that this is the journey shown in the dream, the journey home. Upon arriving at the gates of heaven, I see Jesus place a robe and crown on each saved individual. I follow Penny as she goes before Jesus. Before he places a robe around her, she reaches up and hugs him, then falls to her knees and kisses his feet. She cries and says that she is not worthy to be there, that she sinned and her life was wasted in evil frivolity. Jesus lifts her up, wraps his arms around her, and says, "You knew our Father through the creations you admired. You listened to the voice that whispered softly. You accepted me as your brother. You claimed my blood and my sacrifice. I find great joy in being able to call you my sister. I would have gone to earth only for you." An angel hands Jesus a crown, which he places on her head. But she removes the crown, places it at his feet, and begins crying again, saying that she is not worthy. Jesus lifts her up again, wipes her tears, and says, "You will cry no more. My blood is sufficient for you." He is handed a robe and covers her with it. He says, "I have washed you and wrapped you in my own robe of righteousness. Upon your head I place a crown that says you are a princess, and that you have every right to enter the gates of our father's city. I am honored to call you my sister." As I watch, Penny begins crying as she approaches the gates of the city. When she walks through, an angel guard looks at her as if to say, "You have every right to enter the city." Now I see Jesus walking with her as he escorts her to her own private mansion that sits on top of a small hill. Over the front of the doorway is a large diamond that displays her heavenly name. I know that this name depicts her character. Around her mansion are many flower gardens. Farther out I see many orchards. Flowing through the back of the large grounds is the most amazing stream. A beautiful bridge made of pure gold crosses the stream. In my dream, I continue to follow her in heaven for what seems to be only a day. However, I know that 1,000 years have passed. Time in heaven is not measured the way it is on the earth. I understand that in heaven, even though Penny is surrounded with many people, she finds enjoyment in solitude, yet she is constantly with Jesus as her companion. During that time, I have watched her run through the streets, laughing with the joy and delight of a little girl. I have seen her race through groves of trees, jump into lakes and streams, and swim. Sometimes she would simply look up and fly with the birds, or were the birds flying with her. Other times she would walk or run through large pastures filled with different kinds of animals. Sometimes she would simply cross her legs and look closely at the variety of very small creatures. At one point, I watch her pick a leaf from a tree. She holds it in her hand and looks at each side. Then she holds it up to look at it with the light passing through. She bends the leaf in half and smells its fragrance. While holding the leaf in one hand, she plucks a flower and holds it in her other hand. She sits there for a long time, lost in total admiration. I watch as she holds the flower up to her nose and inhales deeply, as if to absorb all the aroma. Then she plucks off a single petal, looks closely at it, and holds it up to the light to admire it. Then she places the flower, the petal, and the leaf in the palm of her hand, holds her hand up to her nose, and inhales the aroma. I watch her lower her hand and admire the beauty of what she holds. Then she places all three in her mouth, eating the flower, the petal, and the leaf. Next I see her straighten her legs, lean back on her arms, and look up to admire all that she can see. Several animals walk peacefully along, others run by, and many different kinds of birds fly through the air. I watch her get up, run to a large area of water, jump in, and begin to swim. She continues to enjoy the day, but I know that a great deal of time has passed. Now I watch Penny heading to the holy city. I am reminded of the dream, the end, where Jesus returns to raise the wicked. He sits high on his throne with a rainbow above it. I see her fly as if she had wings and stand on the top of the great wall of the holy city. She looks down on the resurrected wicked who lived since the beginning of the earth. Among them are all who defied God and His love, and those who chose their own path. Now they all stand to receive their final judgment. All know that this is the long-awaited end to all sin and sinners. The defiant one will finally be destroyed. My dream changes, and I know that the words have already been spoken that create a new heaven and a new earth. I look upon the new earth and am left in awe at its size, which is hard for me to grasp. It is there that God's throne will be located. As mentioned in the dream, God is angry. I know that a commission was given to build a universal memorial to Jesus for all created beings to enjoy and learn from. A place on the new earth had been selected, and those who were to be involved in the construction were sent out to build it. Next, I observed the construction completed. The hand of the Creator moved over the surface of the earth and created many unique forms of animals, birds, and marine life. Beside the large building, which will allow countless visitors to come, stay, and enjoy, a place was created for the creations that exist below the water. We are told that there will be no oceans in the new earth. On the earth now, there are continents and islands surrounded by water. At the Universal Memorial, there will be a massive amount of water surrounded by land, like an enormous aquarium where myriad of marine life will exist. Its size is beyond comprehension, and the very high walls of the aquarium are transparent. Now my dream changes back to watching Penny. I know that the aquarium has been created and that a very special ceremony was held for and about Jesus. He is not only the Savior for those from this sin-filled earth, but also those throughout the universe. The memorial will be a monument forever to the one who gave all and would have given all for only one individual. It is a place where all created beings will come to understand, learn, or experience who Jesus is. This place will be constructed out of love for the one who is the love of the love of the love. It is a place that will be created by a few who have a song unlike any other. Those who will have a right to build will be a select few who are part of these who are they. Penny enters the expansive building complex where all the teachings about Jesus are found. His life in heaven, the battle between him and Lucifer, and the plan after sin, and what he would give up to come to this earth. It includes teachings about his birth on earth, his work, death, resurrection, his service in heaven, his promise to return to take his people home, the giving of a crown and robe, and the gift of a mansion. However, the most wonderful treasure and the greatest gift for Jesus is to be with each of his people. The complex will document and teach about the greatest teacher. I watch as Penny wanders around the complex. After much time, she walks out and strolls alongside the wall of the aquarium. She looks up and quickly flies for a great distance over the aquarium. Much later, she returns to where she was. She looks over the edge of the wall and gently floats to the ground. Then she sits on a branch in front of the wall to watch the great variety of marine animals as well as the plants and corals. For more time than I can calculate, she enjoys the creations formed by the hand of the Creator, from the smallest to a size that is beyond comprehension. The memorial is special because it is the only place like it that will exist throughout the universe. It is a place to remind all of what the Savior did for the redeemed and to show how much the Creator gave up to become our Savior. After much time, Penny stands up, walks over to the wall of the aquarium, and goes through it. As she does, I see what I can only explain as a thin layer of water that forms a barrier around her. Between the layer of water and her skin, there is a layer of air. The layer of water constantly generates the layer of air. I know that this is the robe of righteousness that also represents Jesus as the living water. I watch as Penny swims and enjoys some of the large creations. She moves without effort, and at the speed they travel. Next, Penny descends to a deep area where she stops to admire some small fish, the kind that would normally be found in a shallow reef. She observes them darting in and out of many hiding places, as if they are chasing each other. I think about the darkness in the deep waters of this earth. Yet on the new earth, even the deepest areas are bright and full of color. I continue to watch Penny as she swims to an area where she carefully examines many marine plants. She touches a leaf and analyzes the stalk of the plant. It looks like underwater flowers growing along parts of the plants. She takes a flower in her fingers and admires it for some time. Then she tears a leaf into little pieces. Instantly, she is surrounded by countless fish. She plucks another leaf and lifts it up to look at both sides as the light passes through. Then she tears it in half and eats it. Next, she reaches over, picks one of the flowers, and pulls off the petals for the fish to eat. When she crumbles a leaf in her hand, the water where she is turns the color of the leaf. Numerous, very small fish appear, and it looks like they eat the colored water. As I continue to watch, Penny picks another flower and pulls a petal from it. She feels its velvety smoothness and holds it up to see the light pass through. She turns it over to examine the other side. When she holds it up to her nose, a water barrier forms around the petal and her nose. This allows her to smell the beautiful flower that grows deep below the surface. Then she eats the entire flower. Afterwards, she swims to a living coral reef where she watches this marine life open and close. She devotes a great amount of time to enjoy the abundant great coral reefs. After observing Penny, I think about the size of everything and how long it would take one person to see all the aquarium. I follow Penny along as if she were a child with a very inquisitive mind, seeing everything for the first time. I think of all that she looked at and studied above the ground, the many different animals that she has only begun to enjoy, that she has run with, walked along beside, as well as played with. I think about the many birds she has watched fly in the air, as well as those she has flown with. I recall the many small creations she has held in her hands, the many plains she has looked at, the many trees she has climbed, the many forests she has run through, and the many pastures she has walked, run through, or just lain on. I think about the spires of grass she has examined so closely, and the many leaves she has studied. Now she is visiting this place where she can enjoy an underwater world created for all beings to enjoy, a place even for those who never knew how to swim. Now I watch Penny take her time to see everything, always as if it were for the first time. Her eyes are full of wonder. I see her look up toward the surface of the water and watch her leave the aquarium extremely quickly. Knowing exactly which way to go, she heads straight for the place where all go to learn of Jesus, moving through the air at an amazing speed like a missile with a pinpointed target. She heads directly toward it. As quickly as she is traveling, she sees Jesus smiling and standing with his arms spread wide open. She flies right into his loving arms, hugs him, and tells him that she could never repay all he has done for her. He hugs her tightly and says, "You are hugging me. What else could I ever want? Jesus, he is the love of the love of the love." I hear a voice that rolls like thunder say, "This is my Son, in whom I am perfectly pleased."